Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. I can remember thinking, I'm never going to bow. I can remember later, asking how to bow. Actually, I don't think what we do is bow. I think bowing is what you do after a stage performance when you come out and the males bow and the ladies curtsy. Do you think the nuns could curtsy here? We could. And the monks do little bows with the hands either side. And we prostrate. Well, that's a pretty big word for us Westerners, and we're certainly never going to prostrate, are we? And I can remember reading about doing three steps and one bow from one part of California to another, where the bowing is full length. You stand up and then you go the full length prostration with the hands right out in front of one. And I can remember when Lumpo Cha first saw that prostration, and I was told that he said, that's how to bow. It's a really good prostration. I can remember about reading about how some of the Chinese pilgrims prostrate all the way across China. I remember seeing the pictures of the Tibetan prostrations. And I wonder, what is all this about? What does it actually mean to you? What does it mean to me? And my interest more is towards the end of karma. The end of karma. I now recognize and can see how helpful the prostration is in that. The willingness to prostrate. There are some teachers of Buddhism that I know that won't even accept disciples unless they fulfill the sort of foundation requirements. four foundation requirements. And the first of that, those foundation requirements are 100,000 full-length prostrations. So before you can get any teaching from me, and for some people who ask for teaching, they say you have to do that 9 times, the four foundations. 9 times. I know somebody who was an anagarika here for a while that I met in Bodh Gaya. And he was doing that. His teacher said that he had to go through the whole thing 9 times. So if you want to be an anagarika here, and I know that in the forest monastery in Wat Nanachat, Wat Bob Hong, we were really encouraged to prostrate a lot, to bow a lot. It used to be something that was almost it was talked about, because it was more than in other Thai monasteries. When you left your kuti, prostrate 3 times, even if it's just to go outside for a little while. When you come back, prostrate 3 times. Before you go to sleep, prostrate 3 times. At the mealtime, you used to prostrate, I think about 9 or 12 times every day. Because you prostrate when you get onto the asana to receive the food, eat the food. Prostrate when you got off to go and wash your bowl. And then before you'd leave, you'd be able to leave, you'd come back after you'd wash your bowl and wait for everybody else to wash the bowl. And then you prostrate to the senior bhikkhu. And then you prostrate again to the Buddha Rupa. I'm just emphasizing this because how can you use this? How can you use this whole thing of bowing? Is it something that's just a perfunctory thing that you... we just do because, oh well, I want to fit in. There's, I remember when one of the things that, when I first started doing it, it was more like to just look and see, well, what was happening in my heart? How was it working? What was happening as I was putting this forehead on the floor? How are things working here within? And that movement was an exercise in awareness, a way of practicing awareness, to know what was happening. And that is certainly incredibly useful, a sense of stopping and just knowing what's happening as the bodily gesture is doing done. and the whole sense of that, and different times, the different ways that it happens. And nowadays, just, you know, having the opportunity to pay respects, so we call it pay respects, to somebody who's senior. So, it's great. It's a lovely thing to be doing. The evening chanting, I feel, as it's written, as it's translated, gives a clue as to a way that one can use the whole prostration by body, speech or mind for whatever wrong action I might have committed towards the Triple Gem. May my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, so that in future there may be restraint regarding Triple Gem. It almost doesn't, you know, what on earth does that mean? And yet, there's something about the acknowledgement of fault, which is always praised by the Buddha, and then the idea that acceptance of that and the willingness to let it go. Something about ending karma. The story that I've told a few times, which is not mine, which is some Chinese story that I read yonks ago and wrote down, and has some, it resonated then, so I'll give it again. About if you're out on a, if you're paddling around on a, in a boat on a river or on a lake, and if another boat bumps into your boat, the boat that you're in, and there's somebody in that boat, the chances are that you're going to get angry and upset. Tell the person to be more careful in future. And then if you're in the boat and another boat bumps into you, into your boat, and there's nobody in the boat, then the chances are that you'll just push it away. Just get on. The encouragement, the sort of punchline of the story is, the practice is to empty one's own boat, so that when we go through life, there'll be no conflict. The idea in that, I think, is to really try to generate the sense of no further karma, nothing further to be done. They say that the goal of the holy life is when there's nothing further to be done. How can one do so that there's nothing further to be done? Now, how can one? What can be done so that there's an ending? And something about the bowing and the surrendering. Something about the giving up. The acknowledgement of fault is not about blaming. It's not about feeling guilty. That's a creation of somebody. It's a creation of a being. And that is always unskillful. That is always unskillful. Creates the whole sense of victim, or of blame, or of personality. Or just the acknowledgement that something's not right. You're seeing of that. Or the acknowledgement that of fault, and the willingness to then just know that, not carry it further. There's something very liberating about that. The other ceremony that I've heard of that happens in some parts of Thailand and some parts maybe in Sri Lanka also is at the new year, the idea of clearing the slate and going to pay respects, prostrate, and the idea of prostrating to one's elders and saying, "Forgive me, sir." There's something very liberating about that. We as the community of monks and nuns and Samaneras and Anagarikas do that. Not quite as much as they do it in some monasteries in Sri Lanka, where if there are, I've seen this happen and I was really touched, there are about 40 monks and Samaneras in the monastery. And then at the end of every evening, 39 monks and novices will bow and pay respects, prostrate and pay respects, and chant to ask for forgiveness of the most senior. And then 37 will chant and ask for forgiveness. Now the next senior. If there are 40, then 39, and then 38, 37, 36 will chant and pay respects to the third senior, or fourth senior, third senior, and then go down and say, 9 will pay respects to the 10th senior, and chant and pay respects. And ask for forgiveness. If there's anything that I've done by body, speech, or mind, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted. And down to the last two. So the most junior Samanera will chant and pay respects to the next senior one. And say, well, if there's anything that I've done, then please forgive me. And then I've also visited a community of lay women in Thailand where the where the practice is whenever there's been some work being done together, or wherever the people have been together. Say if one's been working in the office, or one's been working in the kitchen, or one's been doing some sweeping with somebody, or one's been doing some sewing with somebody, then at the end of the period, then the junior will prostrate and ask for forgiveness of the senior if there's anything I've done. That's very formally. The response, if anyone ever asks for forgiveness, what the senior one responds to all of that is, always, I forgive you. Please also, could you forgive me? So it's not just a one-way street. It's a two-way clearing. A two-way emphasis on the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a weakness. It's not a hiding. It's an opening and an acknowledgement. An opening and an acknowledgement. And a willingness not to carry things to the next time, the next space. There's nothing carried over. The idea of forgiveness is we let go here and now, so there's nothing to carry on. There's no come we need to carry on. There's empty. The next time we meet, it's fresh, it's empty, there's nothing carried on. Nothing one needs to take away. Put down. Leave no trace. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Leave no trace. Like swans through the air. Leave no trace. A lot of forgiveness is needed. A lot of willingness to forgive, a lot of willingness to forgive, be forgiven. A lot of willingness to just prostrate, to bow. I talk to people who've done those 100,000 prostrations. Because curious I am, wondering, well, how does it feel like? It's jolly good exercise. If you're working really hard, it'll take about 3 months to do. If you're not working hard, it can take you an awful long time. And if you can get one good prostration out of all of that, then it's worthwhile. That's what they say. Is one. Then the idea that there's nothing more to do. It's over. And if I could lead a life so that there's no trace from leaving this room, going to the next room. I think that the you know, one of the ways, you know, we have this practice of prostrating before we leave the monastery, or when we come back to the monastery. You can get this ritual of prostration. That's again a sort of a vestige sometimes. How to bring some life into this vestige of just, is it something that actually works for one? In the sense of, I don't have to do anything, I've left everything tidied up. It's gone, I can leave. I can leave the monastery. If I don't come back, there's nothing I need to come back for. No, we're encouraged when we leave to really take care that our rooms are clear and clean. So that if we die, or we don't come back, there's nothing we need to come back for. Nothing we need to get reborn for. Get reborn to come and tidy your room. So, not worth it, frankly. If one can leave one's room in a tidy way, then one doesn't have to worry about it. You know? One can leave a place where one thinks, well, there's nothing I need to come back for, that's done. That's done. If I don't come back, it's not, you know, there's nothing I'm going to have to come back for. And when I come to a place, can I come, well, I come completely fresh. There's nothing I'm carrying over. I mean, that's the encouragement with the bowing. Remarking that as a sense of, that's it. Clear the slate. Just a little bit about the other side. If you start to dress up like this, you start to get people bowing to this thing, to you. And if you take that seriously, it's hopeless. Completely hopeless. Well, take it personally. Take it seriously if you like, but don't take it personally. They are not bowing to you. Because if I think that they're bowing to me, then I'm completely lost. I mean, they're bowing to the robe. They're bowing to a symbol. Something that is made in their hearts. There's something very unselfconscious and rather lovely about the way that people who've been brought up with prostration can do that. You know, in the singular families, old families, whenever the children leave the house, they bow down and touch the feet of the parents. Bow right down and bow touch the feet of the parents. Every time they leave the house, before they go to school. And there's something really sweet about that when it works. In the way that they can do that without feeling there's anything, and there's not a sense of somehow, and there's no sense of sort of belittling oneself or putting oneself down. It's just a sense of willingness to acknowledge one's life is dependent, one doesn't want to carry things forward, just bow and go. that I just wanted to say a few words on that, because it's just something that's I've reflected upon a little bit over the last little while, and something that sometimes can be useful to just recollect. So I hope that it's of some value to some people. And if anything has been confusing, please let it go. If anything's been of help, then I hope that your life leaves no trace. It's a complete surrender. Amen.